So go back to one more question that we didn't get figured out, Carolyn. You got your list there, maybe down to the top.
Okay, the split between objectivity and subjectivity is triggered in the hypothalamus. What pulls the trigger?
Yeah. When you talk about the subjectivity, objective and subjective, is that a part of the fact there's two conversations? Does that theme enter into that, Ion?
It's that they've proven that there is a force.
Who proved that? CERN?
CERN. We let them.
You let them. Did they just do that this week?
No, they did it in April, but they just turned and let you leap it out.
It's they've proved that they have a force?
The force.
What force?
The force is what gives a particle physics its power.
Is that the God's particle?
No, it's an energy field created by all living things.
All living things
create. It binds your galaxy together. It binds your galaxy together.
Now, would that be as a result of the fallen state? Since the ascended wouldn't have to create that. So that's a fact within, the physical fact within the fallen condition?
You've already said too much, so no.
I mean, I said too many words in that question?
No.
We've told too much. Okay, objective.
Thermodynamic injection energy.
All right, I'll put that in the background, Carol.
Thermodynamic.
Injection energy?
Energy.
Yes.
What's the name of the person who's trying to patent that right now?
Paul Asmer.
Paul Asmer is named. That's a good one. It's an ion names absconder.
The absconder. The absconder. No, actually, he's smarter than you. His Googler's faster than your Googler, Bob. But don't worry, you've got enough money.
Money
you'll be able to buy his patent once he gets it. So there's no reason if you have to hurry, but it's easily you can just get it from the man. Swap him a bathtub full of Renew and you'll be good to go, huh?
Okay, the original question was the split between objectivity and subjectivity is triggered in the hypothalamus.
So I wanted to start off, what is this split? Is it the two conversations in people? Is that a factor, Ion?
Maybe.
So what would you say next, Carol?
So then that's answering the question, is there a split?
Yeah.
So maybe.
Now, is it located somewhere?
Or is it located somewhere, or what pulls the trigger?
It ain't no fun when a rabbit's got the gun.
But is there a condition before the split of objectivity and subjectivity, and then something triggers the split, makes the split happen?
It's that hypotin.
Hypotin counts. Is that a substance?
Or hypotin L, the vasodilator.
There's hemopoietin, hypotin. Oh, hypotin L, okay. Sodium nitroprusside, a powerful vasodilator.
So what triggers hypotin L to trigger the split? A fallen condition?
A specific ion.
Did you know there are different kinds of ions, Carol?
Yeah.
There are? But they have different
everything
charges.
Everything is an ion. Everything can break down to an ion. I mean, all the metals and elements. So the specific ion that triggers hypotin L is probably a magnesium ion, right, Ion?
A nitroprusside. But we don't know nothing. Don't mind us.
So I think we'll open the phones for the masses to come in and...
Lord, something catches. About time three of them died.
Three of them died during this three-hour extravaganza. I just want to say Barbara.
And the ships
Barbara
that
Peters.
Sail on the shore of this.
Barbara Peters.
Enchanted Isle.
Barbara Peters requested
Miss
to be on my Facebook. And don't go to Ionic How Ionic Barber.
A millionaire and his wife. And a movie star. Here on
did you finish off that question? Like, did you ask, does objectivity and subjectivity involve the two kinds of memory? Do you want to know that before we finish that topic?
It does involve the two kinds of memory, right, Ion?
Yes, but you better leave Thine Aerosol out of it, though.
Yes, Thine Aerosol, that's a mercury that can kill your brain.
Yeah,
okay,
well, that's not, well, now we're about that. That might be all right.
Okay, we're done for that little.
So the lines are open for people to.
Thank you, Ion. Brilliant, beautiful.
Thank you for our part.
Bye.
Now we'll see what the people come up with. You're welcome to ask questions of Ion.
I have follow-up questions.
That's not a question. That's
oh,
a
hi.
Statement.
How, what would be... Okay. Oh, go ahead. Did somebody else say something first, or I didn't...
Yeah, it's Eliza. You just state
oh,
the question,
ahead.
Eliza, or you're going to get knocked out.
Connie asked, did the Egyptians know that the hypothalamus was the seat of the soul? Ion, you said they did. That's why they put it in a different jar. So if the hypothalamus is the seat of the soul, does that mean... That's where the soul is located?
Nope.
Where is the soul located?
Jar of hearts.
The pericardial fluid has an ohmage of 4, and resistance is measured in ohms, current is measured in amps. You gave us the ohmage of the pericardial fluid. You didn't give us the current. Was there a reason for that? You didn't give us the amps?
Well, you've learned to live half alive, and now you want me one more time. And who do you think you are, running around leaving scars, collecting your jar of hearts, and tearing love apart? You're going to catch a cold.
What organ or part of the body has the highest ohmage?
The third eye chakra.
Is that the pineal gland?
Yay!
It connects.
What did Solomon or Solomon's temple have to do with knowing about ascended knowledge?
Jar of hearts.
And that's a song, Jar of Hearts?
Do.
What was it about the hypothalamus that they wanted to save?
The Jar of Hearts.
You said that's where a source passes through or is. Is that correct? What did they use the hypothalamus for?
Eliza's going into all about the hypothalamus.
Into parts of the hypothalamus?
Don't
yeah.
you know I'm not a ghost anymore? You lost the love I loved the most.
How
I learned to
going?
Live half alive. Now you want me one more time.
Okay.
No, I can't take one more step towards you, 'cause all that's waiting is regret. And don't you know I'm not your ghost anymore? You lost the love I loved the most. I learned to gonna catch a cold from the ice inside your soul, so don't come back.
Christina Perry doing Jar of Hearts?
That answers all the questions.
Because it's about the jar that the Egyptians put the hypothalamus in, the Jar of Hearts? Is that what you're thinking of?
No. We don't think, yes.
I know. Go ahead.
Okay, you can go back
rest,
to doing what you were doing now, Bob. We're sorry we disturbed you, Bob. Go back to your business.
Go ahead.
Okay. The next question was, the two parts of the pericardium, the inside outside, are one in an ascended man. So, Ayn, what happens to the pericardial fluid then?
It changes when the hydrogen changes. Super sugar puts an extra carbon in that mix, and it changes the viscosity of the actual pericardial fluid, heavy, as it were.
Oh, it makes it heavier. So when those two parts become one,
well,
it makes it heavier.
Those words, you need Dr. Dean, and she's fixing to do pizza, so you're going to have to hurry up. But we got to give this back a little bit because the molecular structure of that changes, and she's going to want that. But see, there it is.
Bob, is Connie coming back on?
No, you carry on. You carry on, careful listening.
Okay, just a few questions on chromosome 14. What function does it play in little man?
Well, it really wouldn't.
It doesn't do anything in little man? How about in an ascended man?
Everything.
What's the difference between chromosome 14 in an ascended man and little man? I know you just said it doesn't do anything in little man and it does everything in an ascended man. Can you just talk about that a little bit more?
I don't think the phrase, can you talk a little bit more, helps. You need to be more specific. Or is that those words good enough, Ian, for you to talk a little bit more about it?
No, because it's going to make us into a spin you'll not soon forget.
A what? A Stan Yonah.
A spin. A spin.
Yeah, so you got to be particular, Eliza.
Particular, okay. We were talking a bit about chromosome 14 being activated. Is it activated in little man as well as in ascended man?
It has to be activated in a little man because in an ascended man it would already be. It wouldn't be activated, it would already be. You got to turn it off to follow.
Did you get that, Eliza? You lose it.
No.
You lose its function when you fall. So there aren't any drops re-trigger it to be functioning.
But wasn't there the situation where you talked about the chromosome 14 can usher in behaviors in little men that some people describe as negative? What about that?
Yeah,
that's part of chromosome 14.
That's right.
14.
What about that, though?
What about that?
I want to know how are memories stored and where are
they're
they?
They're not. They're
so
not stored.
How can we remember and look back?
You don't. Every time you reassemble or re-put back together, it's just a new portion.
How do cells really communicate with each other? Is it chemistry or is it frequency or electric impulses?
Oh, Lord. You did right. It's already in Bob Zimbox. It's not a song. We're going to finally show him how to do something.
Who are you going to show?
You.
I would also like to know where those letters come from. Were they given to us by angels?
No. Little men made it up from angel positions.
What about the words that are not like time and soul and all the false premises we named? If we name them, they're supposed to exist, but you say they don't exist.
That's right, they don't.
But you said once everything we name exists.
Well, then we didn't say you couldn't create it. We said you have to create it.
Do these things exist only in the labyrinth of the mind and not in what we call reality?
What about that, though?
Okay, that's interesting. I just posted the letter from Eric McLuhan to Don Thiel about how memory is a creative act. So we don't store, you said, I, and we get a new portion. We expose, reveal, create a new portion when we're remembering. Is that what you were trying
to say? And replete to a new topic that you come back with close to where you were.
You said replete. So that would be?
Hypertext.
Hypertext. So then what did you ask before short-term memory? What was your first topic?
Something about greasing up a great big man.
How were your memories stored?
That was a question, but was there a question before that? Another topic.
Well, Eliza and I were talking about the chromosome 14 in little men, and we never got that really answered because I was saying that chromosome 14 was said by Ion to be activated in little men to get them into their addiction patterns, etc. So I don't know why Ion said that chromosome 14 is not active in little men.
Because that was not her question. That was not her position. She was asking the difference between the ascended man and the little man, and we say it's not. You don't turn chromosome 14 off to make an ascended man a little man any more than you turn it on to make an ascended man. It's the process that is complete. The rings and arms are opened or they're not. You have a chromosome 14 in both states. One is what you call dormant, one you call active. Maybe that's a better way to describe it.
So in little man, the chromosome 14 would be dormant and not helping them in any way in their ascension.
Or as you say, not dominant. So the myocardial will split and cut off and make a new chromosome 14 without the completion of the rest of the tactile information, right?
Yeah, but you mean mitochondrial?
The splitting of the copy before it is complete.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you were saying myocardial, because that sounds like a heart, whereas the mitochondria.
Mitochondria.
Good. Okay. Okay, Bob.
And, Connie, I also asked about what happens to the pericardial fluid when the two parts of the pericardium come together.
Right.
You got the jar of hearts,
So your heart is like... Yeah, the bag is like a jar, and I heard that the super sugar gets thickened, and that's what kind of adheres the two bags together, the fibers and the serous, and they become one. Is that right, Ion?
Yeah, and then that goes into the chemistry lesson that Bob has for you now.
Roxy, do you remember what your first question was, or was it short-term memory?
How did Elvis Presley live when he died? Yes. Right.
What was your question? You remember it, Roxy?
It was about memory.
How is memory stored? Is it stored somewhere
in the
body?
Your beginning.
Because,
okay.
Many
we got that.
Scientists think it has to do with something with the synapses of the cells.
Synapses. So you get that. He says
don't be correcting Luckenbach's.
Ion, you said that memory doesn't exist. It's a new portion of experience. There is no past that you're retrieving. That's what you're saying?
That is correct, Bob.
It's expanding your now.
It's taking an old thing that you thought was, that used to be, that might have been, but it can't be because it's not now, and putting it together from what you call memory, which is not the recollection or the recoil of some long-term, short-term connection of where you stowed it and found it again. It's fresh and new every single time.
So then you asked a new question, Roxy. What was your next question?
How do cells communicate?
Oh, yeah.
Very well.
Yeah, you got the how there.
Well, I want to know how cells communicate.
And
the way they communicate is very well.
Is they communicate very well. So.
And then he said it's in your box.
Yeah, we'll get that. That's going to be a chemistry lesson. It's a video. But before we hear that, let's hear what more is it.
They got a video. He's got the video going on. They got videos on these things.
So, Rusty, you think there's chemistry involved? You want to know if non-physical is involved with the cellular? Give some qualifiers to the communication.
No, the thing is, I think we're supposed to be learning to talk, right?
Yeah.
And I think we have tried to... to sort of talk right and store this talking in many ways. That's how we created media and alphabets and books and different systems to store what we think we know.
Yeah.
Yes,
what we knew, what we know, we knew. That's the point.
Yes. Yes, because as you say, many things that should not be now are, and we have to create new words for these things, or are we still going to be talking or not? Only communicating, but not with words?
Are you insisting the video has the answer, Ion? Okay, I'm going to play this video.
Can you tell us the title of the video?
Hey, aren't you listening? We're playing a video.
Just tell us the title. I want to...
Okay, this is called Chemistry Lesson 29, Structural versus Molecular Formula. So that would fit, Roxy, that structure versus molecular. What's the content? What's the form?
What is going on, guys? Welcome to your 29th tutorial. And in this tutorial, I'm going to be talking about the different kinds of formulas, structural formula and molecular formula, and why you can't just use them interchangeably, that you actually need to use structural formulas, not most of the time, but whenever you want to specify really clearly what it is you're looking for. So what the heck am I talking about? Well, let me go ahead and explain with an awesome example. say you were the head of some super, I don't know, some awesome chemistry lab, and you were working on, it really doesn't matter what you're working on, to be honest, but for the sake of this example, say you were working on the next type of biofuel that's going to be super clean, super easy, and super cheap. So you say, okay, you turn to your two assistants and tell them that you need this compound, C2H6O. And they say, okay, Bucky, we'll go ahead and we'll make that for you right away. So one of your assistants brings back this, C. Actually, I won't go ahead. I'll just go ahead and draw it before. Because if I try to talk when I'm drawing, I'm going to mess it up. So remember, the formula is the same. The only instructions you gave them is C2H6O. So they bring back something like this. Bang, 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 bang. So you go ahead and you make sure it's all right. Okay, do we have 6 hydrogens? Yep. Do we have 2 carbons and 1 oxygen? Okay, we are good to go. So then your other assistant brings back something like this. I probably should have drew these before I started my tutorials, but I am way too lazy to draw and then teach. Gotta compound that crap. Do both at the same time. So let me go ahead and finish drawing this, and you guys can just wait and watch patiently. Make sure I got all my bonds. So then you say, okay, let me take a look at this now. Okay, you got 2 carbons, and then the oxygen, and 6 hydrogens. But what the heck? This is totally a different compound than this. Actually, to be honest, and I'm not just making this up, this right here is a type of alcohol that you find in tequila, and this is, it's an ether that they use in like some industrial products. So this is definitely toxic if you drink this right over here. But anyways, they both followed your instructions, but they came back with 2 totally different compounds. So whenever you have an atom that's bonded differently, it can make 2 or more completely different compounds, and whenever this has happened, whenever this happens, it's called an isomer. So just remember that term because it's actually pretty important. An isomer is a compound with the same exact molecular formula, but it's basically 2 different structures. So in order to be 100% clear, you should have gave them the structural formula instead of the molecular formula. Again, these things right here are called the structural formulas, pretty much how the atoms are bonded together. And this right here is called the molecular formula, pretty much how much of each atom you want in there. So that is the difference between a molecular formula, which is this thing right here, and the structural formula down here, and why it's better to use structural formulas most of the time. So that is the basis for this tutorial. In the next tutorial, I don't even know. Actually, I'm going to be covering electronegativity, I think, and it's going to be a blast. So thank you guys for watching. Don't forget to subscribe, and I will see you guys later.
Eliza, you notice I'm looking at the video. He's got a little human face in his designs. Okay?
Are you talking about that yellow thing moving around?
No, the little face. He puts a little face in there. He doesn't mean it, but I'm thinking he's including the human in the formula, which is what we learned to do a month ago, 6 weeks ago. He's got a little human in the middle of the bonding.
Yeah.
That's
but he
funny.
Didn't, I mean, at the end, he was just throwing his arrows around. He didn't even really appreciate what he was saying. The molecular formula was just the 3 letters and the 3 numbers and the structural formula. He did 2 of them, and it made you think that he was drawing.
Yeah, he mixed it up.
He mixed it up.
Yeah, he was
But
lazy.
The molecular formula was the 3 letters and the 3 numbers, and the structural formulas were those 2
bonding things.
Bonded, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see the little human face in the middle? Why has he got a little human face in there?
I don't see a human face.
Yeah, look at the little dots, the eyebrows.
No.
Okay, you don't see a human face. Bad.
Uh-oh. Like the 2 eyes and the mouth.
Yeah, see the 2 eyes and the mouth, Carol?
Nope.
What do you mean,
what's
no?
going on, guys?
I'm
Welcome
over here.
To your
He hasn't shaven in about 3 days. It's kind of off.
Yeah, okay, Carol, what it is, you see the HCH, the vertical HCHs on the left?
Yeah, now he's just trying it now.
He's got a little circle.
It's just a little sun that's making
it. No. You see the little circle between the sea and the sea on the left thing with two
dots? Obviously, I don't.
Well, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the wrong lesson?
Oh, I'm into 30.
Oh, you're doing 30.
Is there like a syntax in the atoms structures? Like, those are the same atoms, but a different structure brings a different compound. So is that the same with everything, like with words?
It's like your chromosome 14. One is a molecular formula and the other is the structure.
Okay, now we have to figure out what Ion's referring to because we got this guy's definition.
Because he said the little man has this chromosome 14, but maybe it's arranged in a different way. That's why it's not really activated. I mean, the atoms are there, but it has a different structure.
Is that what you mean, Ion, when you say there's two kinds? One's a number, a letter number, and the others are bonding lines. You're saying this chromosome 14 has to be shown one or the other way?
No, well, we're saying that the difference between the formula and the actual structure, the definition is the same. Chromosome 14 is the same, but until you activate it, it's a different conversation. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but this guy's structure is just the bonding lines, and the molecular is the C2H6O. Are you talking on that simple descriptive video level of the difference between the two kinds of chromosome 14?
Yes.
So Carolyn is seeing the face. Now, is that a face, Carolyn? What is that?
No, that's just an oxygen with the four electrons around it.
Why are they doing just that one with the four electrons?
Because everything else has their bonds all taken care of with little sticks between.
There's no bond. There's bonds there.
Well, there's two bonds, but there's stuff left over on an oxygen.
Oh, it's only one oxygen, and it doesn't have a number, but it has four dots. What do you think the dots refer to?
The electrons left over.
From its use? Like, left over from what?
The bonds that aren't taken up in the
It's because it's just used once. That means there's four others.
Right.
Okay. Back to you, Roxy. What's your question?
I see a similarity in the communication, even at the molecular atomic level. There is a structure and a form, like the content and the form.
Yeah, but you've got to be more specific. I don't know what you're referring to.
How things are created, for example, at atomic level.
Atomic level, you're calling that molecular?
Well, yes, molecular, atomic, or cellular.
Okay. So what structure?
There is a structure, content, and form. It's like everything is communicating at all levels.
Yeah, but Ion's saying there's structure and molecular. We don't know what Ion means. You mean by structure, Ion, the bonding lines, which we saw visualized in the video, and that molecular is the number? That's all you mean in talking about chromosome 14?
All we mean.
What I see is like everything is communicating. Even in the micro, there is this communication.
Yeah. Everything is alive. Everything's alive. You might as well say that. Hey, Ian, I bet you some stuff that's not communicating, right?
Much is not communicating.
Yeah, see, Roxy, you can't say everything's communicating. There's much that is not communicating.
Yes. Coffee don't fax worth a damn.
So what are you trying to say, Roxy?
Well, I'm just trying to understand, where is the information stored? If we don't have memory, how do we access our knowing?
If you know it, you don't access it. You know it.
Is there any, like, archive of formulas or Okay, I want to know what makes a particle bond to another in a certain specific way to create and to form different elements or isomers.
Isomers, yeah.
Isomers.
Well, you respond to one word, Ion. What about the question? Are you ESPing an answer, Ion?
I'm just like, la, 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 la.
What's the silence mean, Ion?
Maybe he fell asleep.
Oh, then therefore it's in your inbox, Bob.
Ah, Deb.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a free conference call report that just came in. What is that number, 6691? Why is that calling number show up all the time? Ion, we did this session earlier today, so that's some kind of accounting check back. You don't know why that happens, do you, Ion?
Mm-hmm.
Ion, I want to know where are then the souls stored and what's going to happen to them now that there are no more Goth and people are ascending and there's no more need to have a soul, this recording.
Why don't you answer, Ion?
She said we were asleep and we're waiting on you to play YouTube.
Wake them up, Roxy. Tell them to wake up.
Wake up, Finnegan.
You should go back to your original question about structural and formula. You pound on too many questions. Let's find out something.
Many things they want to know.
Yeah, well, we're not getting anything.
Now, flog my ass.
I want to know how to flog your ass.
It's in Bob's inbox.
Okay, I'll check my junk mail. Flog my ass, squidbillies. Okay, guys, squidbilly time. Yes, they're being blocked in the junk mail. That's the problem.
What is the deal with that?
Outside, Glenn, you got an Era 43 replaced toner cartridge?
Ooh, my. Looks like the magenta. Damn, this is going to hurt.
Clear. Hurry now. Hurry. Take out their sexual harassment manual and hit me in my groin.
You're sure about it?
Hurry now.
Hard?
Thanks, damn it. Thanks.
All right. I'll do it. Here.
Don't stop. Now flog my ass.
No, now you're f***ing with me. Nice one.
Sit that some bitch will fax now.
It never was able to fax. It's a coffee maker.
You dumbass, you can't fight coffee. Coffee don't fight worth a damn. Every time the rain hits it, it'll run. Damn. You a dumb
sumbitch. Hey, man, what a mess. That was sick. Now, that supposedly answered the structural questions of Roxy?
Implicitly.
So, Roxy, they showed this guy tried to fax his... I don't know what he was trying to fax. His ass, and it just shit splattered all over the room.
And it's clear that he was trying to put ink in the toner cartridge of the coffee maker.
So, Roxy is trying to put ink into you. And it's just ending up splattering about.
Coffee don't fax worth a damn, Bob.
Well, you're saying Roxy's question doesn't fax?
Doesn't put the right ingredients in.
We said you're putting ink into a coffee maker, and coffee don't fax.
Okay, so try your question again differently, Roxy.
Where is the soul stored, or where are the souls?
Yeah, where is the soul stored?
Within you, Holy Hills.
In the Holy Hills.
The song Holy Hills. You know that.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. So we got an answer there, Roxy. They are stored within you.
Stored in the house of flesh.
That's if you're ascended. If you're not ascended, it's not stored in the house of flesh, correct?
It's still stored in the house of flesh. It just doesn't interact with you.
Ah, so the ascended... person interacts with it?
Well, obviously.
Ion, is this desire to decipher and know somehow encoded in us?
Yes. Or, that's the difference between the molecular form and the molecular bonding, yes.
Between the molecular, what'd you say, formula and the bonding?
Molecular bonding, yes. It's in the tutorial.
And the formula? What was the other part?
The chemical equation and the chemical formula.
That's the difference for the soul in an unascended person.
Yeah.
Ion said the soul is stored in our flesh, meaning our skin. That's where it's located.
Bars of bones, oh my soul.
And the thoracic?
Yeah.
So the soul is located in the thoracic?
Yeah.
Ah.
All right. That's pretty good.
I finally got that question answered.
It only took 9 million years. You got it.
So what did we get there, Eliza? The soul is in the thoracic.
We couldn't store it, and we don't have long or short-term memory, so it's gone. And when we bump into it again, we'll find it out once again for the very first time that that's what it was. Isn't that cool?
Ion said the soul is stored or located in the thoracic.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Ion, you said the physical is eternal. How would you describe physical?
Almost eternal.
Okay, you use the word physical like versus meat sack. Like you say, the meat sack is a 3D version. So I want to know what you mean by physical then. What does physical include?
Physical would include an ascended self.
Did you say an unascended self or an ascended self?
An ascended self.
Is that ascended self physical?
We hope so.
So, Barbara, you guys are re-asking the questions we asked, which is good. You know, we get different answers.
And a few years ago, in the beginning, you used to speak a lot about being mortal versus eternal and keeping the meat sack body here.
Being immortal.
Sorry, immortal versus eternal. So there could be people keeping their meat stacks here for thousands of years or whatever and being immortal versus someone who's ascended who is eternal. How are their bodies different? How would you describe the difference?
Like that.
Is that a tonality, what was being expressed there, Ion?
Apparently.
That's a tonality, Barbara. You gotta watch those semantic meanings. They're preceded by grunts.
Ion, I want to know the difference between the ascended physical body versus the unascended physical body.
A little different frequency.
So what is a frequency made up of? If it has no beginning, it has no substance. What is a frequency?
The mark between 1 pi and 2 pi and an amperage.
That's a graph.
Vibration?
No, listen. He just said he's talking about trigonometry, and he's showing a graph. So that's a visualization, Ion. You've taken a word, which is sound, frequency, and translated into another modality, sight. Now, how is that an answer if you're just going from eye utterance to visual utterance?
The space between the visual knowing and the experiencing of the visual space.
Wow.
No, that's tactility. Now it gets into the interval where the action is. And what was your question, Barb?
The ascended physical versus the unascended physical body.
Yeah, okay. Now he's saying the difference is this space in between. We're starting to get somewhere here.
Frequency.
The loop and the frequency of an aperture.
That's the wire whisk. Visually, that's the wire whisk?
Mm-hmm. It is in perfect imperfection.
So you asked the question, Barbara. The answer is always going to be incomplete because it'll be in one modality, one sensory modality. But if he's a little more sophisticated, he says it's in between two modalities if you catch him on the fact he's only talking on one modality. So we've got him between the ear and the eye, and it's this gap. That's the process we're evoking.
So this means the frequency is measured in amps?
In hertz.
Ohms. Ohms.
But you mentioned amps, too.
Can you tell us what the frequency is for the ascended physical being?
We did that 100 years ago. It's in the recording. Look it up.
Yeah, those are the numbers that Ginny knows.
Yeah, I think I have it written.
Okay, so we get some number. That ain't going to tell you anything.
How do you make your pre-sales frequency to start vibrating in that frequency? How do you tune to this frequency?
Like, say you don't. It tunes to you.
See, you don't have to do anything, people. 3, 2, 1, it.